started in the Maine outdoors. Fishing and hunting, winter, spring, summer, and fall. If it happens in the Maine outdoors, they talk about it all. Just tune in your radio to 103.9. Jim and Paul and Bob and Matt are your outdoors hotline. Each Sunday night at 7 on WVOM. To find out what is happening, just listen to the radio to the Maine outdoors.
Welcome to the Maine outdoors. Here's tonight's host, V. Paul Reynolds.
You know, you folks may have noticed it, but there is a distinct change in the air this morning.
Fall is in the air.
Yeah, and I saw the swamp maples out by your house were turning a little reddish.
Certainly is. Big change. I had to put a jacket on this morning when I walked the dog.
Yeah, fall is in the air. Those of us who like to hunt or just get out in the woods in the fall are looking forward to the end of summer, I think, aren't we?
Oh, we're winding down. What is it, the 21st of next month?
Won't be long.
Or is it nearer than that? It's 20th, maybe.
Yeah. Anyway, welcome to Maine Outdoors, Maine's longest-running, most enduring outdoor radio program, and it's a talk-in show, so that means we welcome your calls, and we have a toll-free statewide number. You might want to jot it down. What's that number, Bob?
1-800-966-1039, and dial the whole number, even if you're local, 1-800-966-1039.
We have a really unusual show lined up tonight. I think you're going to get a kick out of it. I think you'll find it informative and entertaining as well. I'll introduce the star guest in just a moment. But first, the crew who make the show possible every week. The engineer, the man behind the controls and the toggle switches in there in the Studio A, Sky King himself, Mr. Scotty Bates.
Yes, good evening, Paul. And you're right. This weather makes me want to go to camp.
It does, doesn't it? Oh, it won't be long now.
Hunting camp.
Yeah, hunting camp.
And to Scotty Bates' right, we have the sweetheart of Grand Lake Stream, the man who speaks fluent French, Mr. Norman F. Plord.
At this stage of the game, it's rusty, but no, how are you doing?
I thought you did great last week.
Anyways, Jim is listening to us, so we better behave.
Drive safely, Jim. We understand you're on your way back from the county. And we look forward to seeing you maybe next week. And with Scotty is a guest, one of his house guests from Florida. He's a Toronto native, John Drummond. Did I say that right, John?
Yeah, he doesn't want to talk on the mic, but he said yes.
I heard him.
Yeah, and he did. His wife's listening at home for us.
All right, so. What's her name?
Jane Drummond.
Say hi to Jane.
Yeah.
And nice to have you all here in our studio. It always makes it more interesting.
Yes.
And I almost forgot our co-host, a registered master guide, the author of some great fishing books, my friend Robert F. Lehman.
I appreciate it. I'm looking forward to tonight. Hey, folks, this is going to be a great show. Stay tuned to this one. You won't believe it.
All right. Our guest tonight, you remember last week I told you we were trying to get in touch with Louis Gagnon, the Champigny Muscolaire. And Louis tied up. He's chopping wood. He couldn't quite make it. But he told me that this fella knows how to call a moose. And we're going to get into moose calling tonight. Going to get into the psyche of those big bull moose and the cows as well. And he's come all the way down from Myers Hill, and we appreciate him making the long trip. Please welcome Joel Carvel.
Hello. How you doing?
Nice to have you here, Joel. And we're going to have you making some sounds here in a few minutes. Joel is also a very experienced moose guide. He's been guiding moose up in the county for more than 20 years. He belongs to one of Hal Blood, the buck hunters group called the Big Woods Bucks, and he's performed at seminars and so forth, so he knows his stuff. And again, you can ask Joel a question if you have any questions about moose calling or moose hunting or just moose behavior. You can call us at
1-800-966-1039.
Okay, and right now it is time for Outdoor Digest, brought to you by the Northwood Sporting Journal, Maine Outdoor Publications. A couple of reminders. The latest issue of the Sporting Journal is now on the newsstands. If you're a mail subscriber, you should have gotten yours in the mail by now.
I got mine.
You got yours.
I did. Okay?
And the September issue, and Bob Lehman has an article in there about fishing. What's that about?
I certainly do. I was just talking about Grand Lake Stream. Every once in a while I have to, it's in my blood, I guess, or something.
It is,
I don't know. Yeah, right.
Very much so. And there's some other good articles in there. There's an article by yours truly about a moose shot placement.
I saw that.
Those of you who are thinking about planning a moose hunt this fall, if you're a first-timer, you might want to read it. It's a pretty good article. It's based on interviews I did with a number of moose guides around the state and about how to approach a moose when you get ready to make that that critical shot. And we're going to talk also with Joel Carvel about that in a few minutes. So check it out, the Northwood Sporting Journal. There's a picture of a moose on the cover, and you'll notice the moose has a little bit of snow on his nose.
No, I did not notice that. I'll have to look at that.
And the gals in the office, when we put the page together, said, what about that? It doesn't snow in September.
Oh.
It might up there in Rooster County, right?
Sure does. Joe?
That's correct.
Good yeah. frost up there, too.
Yeah. You're right.
Heavy frost.
Anyway, we don't wish that on you yet.
No.
But we know the 2 weeks of poor sledding is over in Rooster County now, so summer's gone, right?
Ever pick potatoes, Paul?
Oh, yes, many times.
I did. I did 1 year. Didn't go into Hudson College, went up late.
Oh, yeah. We love it. We loved it.
You want to hear the quick story?
You told it last week, I think, about the truck.
They wanted that's it. I did.
They wanted you to drive, right?
Yeah. Well, I started in the first day. I was on my knees, and then the guy came over and he says, "Wouldn't you rather drive a truck?" And I said, "Yeah."
Yes, you certainly would. Okay. All right. Let's see what else. Wanted to remind you too that the Old Town Trading Post, that's where they sell Bob's and Paul's books.
Yeah.
They're having a big hoedown on September 14th. This is an all-day affair. This could be a good time, Bob.
Oh, man. I'm looking forward to this. I went up there just the other day, took them some of my books, a big stack of my books.
Good.
And I'll be tying flies up there. Would you like to tie flies right next to me? I'll bring you an extra vise.
You laugh, but I think I could put together a streamer.
Well, I bet all you
could.
Right.
Been a long time.
Of course you could.
Been a long time.
Just watch me.
All right, I'll watch you. Anyway, it's at the Old Town Trading Post. They're going to feature free hamburgers and hot dogs during the day. And the grill will be on from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. And also free seminars there at the event. They'll have a GPS basics course by Randy McEwen, a fly tying demonstration by Ron McCusick, some How to Train Your Rabbit Dogs by Ray Dion, and Lee Cantor, the moose biologist, will be there as well to talk about moose processing. So it'll be an exciting time. They'll have discounts and deals and everything in the store, as well as giveaways and raffles. So get your calendar out, folks, and jot that down. It will be a good time. Bob and I will be there. We look forward to meeting you. If we've never met you, come on in, say hello, and we even sell you an autographed book if you'd like. But anyway, September 14th today, put it in your calendar. And we look forward to meeting you there at the Old Town Trading Post. And let's see what else we got here. Before we get to Bob, we had one other thing. And I've lost my sheet here, Bob. What happened to my sheet? I'll be doggone.
What other thing you mean?
There it is. Okay. The other thing we want to mention, bear season begins officially tomorrow morning. At what time does that start, Joel?
Should be half an hour before sunrise, right?
Yeah, half an hour before sunrise. And you have a few bear baits out, do you?
I only had two or three out for just me and my kids right now. I don't really have the time to do the bear guide anymore.
Yeah, okay.
Once you have kids, they're into sports and everything else.
How old are your kids, Joe?
17 and 14.
Oh, man, they're good enough.
Freshman and a senior.
Potato pickers?
My son works driving windrower. He started out in the potato house.
Yes, sir.
And my daughter's going to start in the potato house this year. They have to be 14 now to work around the machinery.
Yes. Oh, I imagine, sure.
I started picking when I was 8 years old.
Do they still roll those barrels like they used to?
Not too many.
Not much anymore. No, they used to, though.
All
man,
conveyor,
they were clever.
Yeah. Yep.
Across on a little narrow board, they'd roll a barrel right out across and dump it.
Not a whole lot of hand
pickers. We are digressing a little bit here.
There we go.
Fish business.
Saved by the music.
I'm the big boss bass.
Yeah.
And you work for me.
Yeah.
This is my rock.
Yeah.
Work on your
timing. Hey, Bobby, what's going on in the fishing world?
Well, you know, there's a lot of stuff going on out there. It's kind of quiet right now. You know, it's slow. It's been hot.
You bet.
I haven't been myself for a couple of weeks. It's just too hot. But, you know, I could go catch fish this time of year real easy. I could get some trout. I know right where they are. I know what they're taking. And they're all washed up in these spring holes, more so than ever, Paul.
Yep.
So, I mean, they're easy. If you know where the spring holes are, man, you know they're going to be trout there. You could sit in one spring hole and catch all the trout you want right now with one fly. It's that easy right now. But if you can stand the heat.
And that fly is?
And that fly right now is an imitation for the hex hatch. They're still rising in the morning and real early in the morning and during the night. they're still hatching. Those big 3-inch across wings.
Yeah, so the Hornburg massive. Hornburg would still do it.
Hornburg would work great. I use a big Hornburg myself once in a while.
Yeah, I've got one. I've got one that weighs about 2 pounds.
Well, I wouldn't go quite that large. You're looking for really big.
Oh yeah, big trout. Yeah, big trout.
Yeah, and of course they're still fishing for. You know what? This morning I found out that the Grand Lake Stream. The water temperature is down to 70, which is, this time of year, that's pretty darn good.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's good. And they're all ready to catch them in September down there, I would think. The fish will be coming in. I'm sure the water will drop some more. Tonight and tomorrow night, it's going to be in the 40s, they say. So, and the water, and they're running, I think they were running somewhere around 275 through the dam, which is
good.
Ideal for me. I love
that's
that. Good. What'd you say, Norm?
That's pretty good.
It is. That's just why I like it, because you can fish every pool on the river, even the woods pools.
But seriously, for somebody who's going to take like 3 or 4 days to go to Grand Lake Stream this fall, and you got to pick a time, got to plan ahead, because you got to get somebody to take care of the dog and so forth, what's the best time to shoot for that fall
fishing?
Well,
everybody goes in October now. There's special season.
Yeah.
And
you just can't keep a fish.
That's exactly right. Of course, Grand Lake Stream is fly fishing only. In October, you cannot keep a fish. You can keep one right up until September 30. One fish limit at Grand Lake Stream. And I'm going down a little late in September, maybe keep a fish for barbecue, you know.
Yeah.
But if I'm lucky enough to catch one, that is. And
so third week in September, maybe?
Well, it depends on the weather, Paul. If it's cool, they'll be coming in. If it's not cool, you know, we used to catch fish years ago down there the first 2 weeks of September. It closed on the 15th of September.
Wow.
Forever.
Yeah.
And then they had this new season, you know, this late season, and I wanted to go to the first week of 10 days of October, but they decided the 20th of October.
Mm-hmm.
So, and now they're going for another 5 days, as you know, and of course that won't be this year, but it might very well be next year in 2020. So it might be 25th day of October. So there you go.
You remember? Remember a couple of weeks ago we talked about the article John Holyoake wrote about catch and release.
Yes.
And the controversy and Bob Mallard.
Mm-hmm.
I tried to get Bob Mallard to come on the show to defend his position.
Yeah.
That you should never kill a trout under any circumstances ever. And. He said, well, do you agree with me or disagree? And I said, no, I disagree. I mean, I understand the catch and release ethic. I think it's a good one for certain ponds, but other ponds, you should be able to kill a trout, right?
Sure, right, yeah.
Anyway, he said I was going to give him a half the show, and he said that just wasn't long enough to cover it. So
really?
We may get him later on, but it should be controversial.
Well, you know,
trout,
you ought to be able to keep one or two anyway. I mean, just to, you know, for the fry pan.
Not according to Bob Mallard.
No?
No, sir.
Not at all. Well, you know, you're going to kill some. You can't help it. They get the hook down in there, dislodging that hook. You do the best you can, you know, and all this.
Yeah.
But you're going to get slime off them, which will leave them open to disease and stuff. You're just going to do that anyway.
Yeah. Well, we'll get to maybe line Bob up later in the show, later in the fall.
That'd be great. We'd love that.
All right. Is that it?
That'll do it, Paul.
Okay, thank you. We appreciate that report. Again, if you just joined us, our guest tonight is moose guide and caller Joel Carvel from Mars Hill. And we're going to talk to Joel and begin the interview right after we dispose of a trivia question. I might ask Joel to read the question. Do you have the trivia question there, Joel?
Yes.
Right in front of you there? And if Joel's going to read the question, if you have the right answer... and what's the number, Bob, if they're listening?
1-800-966-1039.
And Bob doesn't know it yet, but he's graciously agreed to give away one of his prized streamer flies.
Absolutely. Loved to do that.
Well, thank you, sir. I was hoping
to. Tie one up special for the winner.
You've got a can-do attitude. I like that.
Thank you.
So, anyway, what's the question, Joel?
A blueback trout is a subspecies of Arctic char. What is another popular name for a blueback trout?
All right. As my favorite country DJ always says, don't nobody go nowhere. We'll be right back after these messages. Okay, we're back with the Maine Outdoors, and our guest tonight, Joel Carvel, wants you to tell him another name for that blueback trout. Okay, do we have a caller standing
by? Yes, we should have Russ from Millinocket.
Okay, Russ, good evening. Welcome to the show.
Hey, guys. Good evening.
Good evening.
How you doing?
How you doing?
I'm doing well. What a wonderful day, huh?
Yeah, I liked it. It's a little breeze out of the northwest. It was just gorgeous.
Yep, lake was flat, calm, just a beautiful day.
Yeah. Yep. What do you think the answer might be?
Well, I've always known them as the Sunapee trout.
Well, we have to go. It's up to Judge Carvel. We'll have to see what he thinks. What do you think, Joel?
I think that's correct.
That's the right answer,
that's
right?
That's the right answer.
Good. Sunapee. Can you spell Sunapee?
Probably, S-U-N-A-P-E-E.
Very good.
That's great.
So you get the bonus. You get the bonus prize.
Oh.
Not only will you get Bob's hand-tied streamer fly, we're also going to give you a 14-foot Lund boat and a 20-horse four-stroke Merc.
Yes.
And you'll have to come to the station to get the Merc on the boat, but we're going to send you the fly.
And you also get our autographs.
Yeah, we do? Oh, okay.
The autographs you might get.
Yeah. Yeah, wow. Okay, congratulations to you. And anything else on your mind tonight?
I was hoping you'd be able to touch on something that came across in the press this week about the restriction of live bait in northern counties during ice fishing. So maybe you and your guests can chat about that if you have time tonight, Paul.
Yeah, I'm really not up to speed on that, but I will do some research, which I do a lot of in my business, and maybe we can kick it around next week, all right?
Yeah, absolutely. That
tonight,
great.
Yeah, tonight we're going to kind of focus on the Cheval de Bois, okay?
Sounds great.
You don't know what that is, right?
It's something of the woods. I'm sorry, I'm drawing a blank on the first.
No, you get it. Horse of the woods.
Horse of the woods.
Yeah. Now, Norm Plourd, who is very fluent in French, says it differently than that. How do you say it, Norm?
Well, he's not listening right now.
No, he's
on the phone.
He can answer the phone.
Okay. Anyway, congratulations to you. And Norm is getting ready to take your address, and we'll make sure you get Bob will mail that streamer fly. And these streamer flies, hand tied by Bob Lehman, seriously have value. So you want to be careful with it. You might want to frame it. If you want to fish with it, you can. But you might want to frame it. These are beautiful flies that Bob ties, and there are only so many.
I'll put it right.
Thank you.
I'll put it right with my first edition of his streamer book.
No kidding. Trolling flies? Trolling flies.
Oh, there you go.
All right.
I'd take that sucker and tape it inside the dust cover. They make a nice collector's item. Yeah.
Actually, you know, if he brings that down to the show on the 14th, I'll be glad to personalize it for him.
There you go.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
So make a trip down there to Old Town Trading Post September 14th and introduce yourself. And Bob will make sure you get he's got a huge signature, too.
Oh, yeah, huge.
All right, stay on the line, okay?
Thank you, guys.
All right, thank you. We appreciate you listening to the program.
Yeah.
All right, Norm is going to get over there, shuffle right over there, pick up that phone, get that pen going, and get the address. Okay, let's get down to business here and cut right to the chase. Joel Carvel, our guest tonight. He's a Mars Hill resident. He's also a very experienced and seasoned moose guide and, as we said last week, a moose culler. Nice to have you here, Joel.
Thanks for having me.
Before we get down to serious business and try to call in that bull moose, tell us our listeners a little bit about your background. How did you wind up? Now, you're in the potato business, right, up there in Mars Hill?
Yep. I buy and sell potatoes, and we ship to a processing plant in North Carolina.
Does that make you a broker or a farmer or what?
Technically a shipper.
A shipper, okay.
Yeah, yeah. We do organize the trucks too, but we technically, I guess you call it a shipper.
Yeah, okay. And you've been at this for quite a few years?
Going on 27 years. It's a family-owned business.
Yeah. Are you Mars Hill born?
Yes.
Yeah. We like the county. We always love the county. When did you begin your hunting career?
When I was young, we always would go camping and stuff like that, and I hung out with my grandfather. He was a ranger at Baxter Park there for 18 years.
Oh, no kidding.
And he took care of Troutbrook Farm there in the north entrance.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. He got down there somewhere around 91. But
was he a Cavell?
No, he was a Ward. It was my mother's side.
Okay.
Yep. I did a lot of hunting with him, started right when I was, you know, probably 10 years old when I was legal to hunt, did a lot of bird hunting, starting out, and he took me deer hunting also. I didn't really get into the moose hunting till later on, when I got my guide's license and, went from there.
All right. We have a caller already, I guess. Good evening, caller. You're on Maine Outdoors with moose guide Joel Carvel. Go ahead. Go ahead, caller.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you. Go ahead.
Yeah. This is a question for your guest. Are you the same gentleman that was guiding for the veterans up there in 2010?
Yes, I was. I was one of them, yep.
I was one of your clients. Oh,
really? Yeah. Nice.
This is Mike from out to Warrington.
Okay. Yeah, I did.
Shot the bowl together.
Okay. I guided yeah. several of them there. I couldn't quite remember the name, but
I was the one that shot the bull on the last day. It was me, and then there was another guy that got a cow. The rest of them had already tagged out. I was with you that last day.
Okay. Did I call it in at all, or I can't remember this?
Yeah, you called it out to me. We had to move, and Mike from Montana filmed it.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I remember now. Yes, I do remember. Yeah. Yep.
So I just wanted to say I'm not a guy that gives too many people attaboys or recommendations, but I can honestly say after all those years that if somebody did need a guide for moose hunting, I'd highly recommend you.
Okay, and he lined this up ahead of time, right, with you?
No. I heard that.
Checks in the mail.
I heard that name, and I didn't know if there was two fellas from up there with the same name. But
yeah, how much calling did he do to get that bull to come hither?
We did call him in several places, and he asked me what I wanted to do. And I said, look, this is my last day I can be here. I had a young fella that I had to take care of, so I had to get back. And I said, let's do what we got to do, and he did it.
All right, that's certainly a testimonial, and he did it vocally with his mouth rather than an electronic call or anything like that. Huh?
Yep. And we heard the bull. He grunted, and then we heard him snap some branches and whatnot. And
we actually had to back up a little. We had to back up a little bit, didn't we? Yeah, because he was coming right out of that corner of the field.
This bull was going to come right out on us. Yeah. So if we hadn't moved, he'd have been right on top of us. So we had to get back, and then as soon as I turned around, that bull was standing there looking at us.
All right. That sounds exciting.
Yeah. Well, okay. Yeah. So it was, for me, it was do or die because it was my last day up there.
Yeah. All right. We appreciate your call and I'm sure Joel appreciates your kudos and testimonial. That's great. We're going to take a commercial break here in just a second, and so we're going to have to cut you short, but thank you for the call, sir.
Thanks, Joel.
Good. Nice to hear from you.
All right. You stay with us. We'll be back with Joel Carvel right after these messages. Okay, I'm all excited here. This is calling. I love calling. It gives me goosebumps. And we're getting close to the magic moment when we're going to have our guest do his stuff. But before we do, I just had a couple more questions I wanted to put to him. In the calling business, I guided my wife into a moose, so I've had a little bit of experience, but not much, and I also got a moose myself. And I'm almost embarrassed to tell you this, but I used an electronic call.
What is that?
You wouldn't be caught dead with that, right? And but the real moose guides probably don't use those, right? Just amateurs like me?
Pretty much, yeah.
There's still
a few that use them. I mean, I guess if that's what they want to do. But I enjoy, counteracting with the moose.
Oh, yeah, Well, it's like turkey. I'm a turkey hunter, or have been. Yeah. I haven't lately, but... If you can call a turkey in, it's so satisfying when you do that. It's thrilling.
How about rolling up a piece of bark and then giving you a call through that?
He could do that, I'm sure.
I bet you could do that.
Oh, yeah.
Bobby, you've done that.
Oh, yeah. Well, I've got a couple of birch bark calls that I use. I use them mostly if it's a windier day and you need to get the sound out a little further.
Those old paintings, you get the moose caller in the canoe. Mm-hmm. With that birch patch horn. Everything. And
when I was with Fish and Wildlife many years ago, we had a fellow who purchased the high price moose permit that the state sells to a guy from Montana, and I found a guide for him. It was John Richardson. You probably know John.
I think I've heard the name, but
Ross Pond Camps up Ross Lake.
I know those, but I don't know him personally.
Anyway, John had a big number 10 coffee can, and he had a piece of rawhide through the bottom of the can, and he'd take that rawhide, he'd wet the rawhide in the puddle, and then he'd take his thumbnail, and he'd just run it across that rawhide, and it did a pretty good job impersonating the sound of a cow in heat.
Yep, they do work. Some guys
use one of those, huh?
I actually witnessed, sometimes we use shed antlers to rattle with.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And I had a guy that was, he was rattling, and he was bringing a bowl in, and another guy in the group had one of those cans, and he made that noise, and the bowl turned and went the other way.
Yeah. So the hell with you. Yeah,
you won't see me using one.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we were looking through a book about moose hunting by Dave Kelso, who was an Aroostook County guide for many years, and he talks about, he says in the book, I mentioned that to the fellows here, that in the book he claims, we're going to do cows mostly, but he claims that the bulls have two different grunts. One of the grunts is if they're looking for love, and probably Scotty Bates could do that one.
Yeah.
And then yeah, the other grunt is when they're looking for a fight. And, of course, that would be Norm Plorenzel.
Yeah.
Norm, can you do a bull looking for a fight?
No, I haven't got a clue.
Come on now. Just give it a shot.
You know, I had a friend of mine that I went hunting with, and I got my moose, and he did all the calling.
Oh, okay. Bob, can you do
do fish calls.
Oh, you only do a fish call?
Yeah, right.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay, well, I'm going to, after Joel does his impeccable impersonation of a cow looking for love, I'm going to ask you to try it, see how you do.
Okay.
I know you go along because you're a good sport.
Well, I'm an old caller from way back.
All right. Okay, everybody.
Way back.
All right. Okay, we're coming to the critical moment here. You got to kind of lay the groundwork a little bit. Just picture this now. We're out in the, we're on the edge of a cutting. It's early in the morning. There's a little fog and mist coming off the dead water over there to the left, and we got some fir trees on the right, and there's some alders over there, and you're with Joel Carvel. He's guiding you, and you're on your first moose hunt, Scotty. You got that 300 mag, and you're just eager to get at that moose and bring home some good protein for the family. And so we know there's something going on over there because we've heard some crashing way across the bog. So Joel's getting ready to try to get to convince that big bull that he's a cow moose looking for love. Right? Right, Joel? Did I say that right?
Yeah, you're doing a good
set
job.
Set the stage?
Yep.
Okay. Now what do you do, Joel? Here we go.
You ready?
We're ready. Oh, that is fantastic. Let's hear it for him. Oh, I love that. That is so good.
It is harder to do that under pressure here than
it is out in the field. A lot of pressure. More pressure than if you had a moose, right?
Yeah, I'd rather have it right next to the client.
Get out your magnum.
Oh, that was fantastic. That was fantastic. So that was a cow in heat.
Yeah.
And I also read in Kelso's book, maybe you can validate this. I don't know, Joel, but I read in the book that the cow comes into estrus, which is heat, looking for love, for about 24 hours, a 24-hour period. Would you agree with that?
Yep, I would say 24 to 30 hours, somewhere in there. Yep.
And there is a point where she calls, makes that call a little bit, and then I guess she calls incessantly until Big Boy comes by, right? Pretty much?
Yeah, I guess, yeah.
Do you agree with that?
I've never heard, are you talking contestant?
According to him, is when she's really hot, she will, if I could use that term, she will call repeatedly. Is that?
I've heard, it's kind of a softer call, and it kind of has a little hesitation to it, but I've never really heard it calling. A lot of times it might be 20 minutes, a half hour, you might hear.
Oh, is that right?
I've never really witnessed that part of it.
Yeah. And and according to him, the more interested she is in the bull, the more quaver there will be in the sound. And notice you had that quaver.
One thing that they will do, it's a kind of a deeper throated, like the one you hear for a longer period. It's actually a little bit of an aggravated call. It'd be a bull trying to mate with her, and she ain't quite ready yet.
Yeah.
And I've had times when I was cow calling a bull and bringing a bull, he's coming.
Yeah.
Then she gets aggravated with me, and I've had counteraction with a cow going back and forth.
No kidding.
And that's the longer call, but it's a deeper throated call. I
mean, she's unhappy that you're there?
She's unhappy with me, and she's trying to bring him back.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Oh, that's an interesting.
Doesn't want the competition.
It's almost like a soap opera.
Yeah. Right.
Wow.
But the actual call when she's ready, it might only be 15, 20 seconds, but it's got kind of a hesitation to it. It's a.
Yeah.
If you hear that, you can tell she's ready. And it's not real loud either. She's doing a normal call.
Yeah.
So the other call that I did is kind of a might say a locating call, trying to call one in. But when she is ready, it's a real soft call with a hesitation in it.
Oh, she's getting kind of seductive then.
Yep. Oh. But any time I've heard that long call, it's usually there's a bull right there. Not always a mature one, but there's usually a bull trying to mate with her, and she ain't quite ready for him yet.
I see.
Yep.
And so he'll just keep following her until he hears that right sound.
That's a good place if I'm guiding somebody. I'll call, and if I try to get him out, you'll hear him grunting. If he doesn't leave her, then I usually take the client and head in towards him. If you get close enough to him and her, sometimes he will come back and come to your call.
Okay. Would there be any gain in, say he's hanging up a little bit, we should say that with turkeys, if he's hanging up a little bit, would there be any gain in try to sound like a bull to get him ticked off so he might come in?
Yeah, I've done that also. Not necessarily the grunting, but you take take a shoulder blade and rake the bushes, a moose shoulder blade.
Yeah.
It's bone.
Yeah.
And it does sound a lot like an antler.
Oh, okay.
And I have guided people before, and I had a bull. He'd come, and she'd call and bring him back like 5 or 6 times.
Oh.
And finally, I started raking the bushes there, and he'd come for a fight.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah. I had a bow hunter take that one at 30 yards.
Oh, did you really? Yeah. Yeah. That's exciting stuff.
Did you ever get charged by a bull, Joe?
Yes, I have.
Yep.
Yeah.
Think you're a female?
Well, yeah, when you bring them in so close, and if the guy can't get the shot, sometimes they will charge. I've only been once or twice for me, but
it happened.
You want to get out of the way. You want to have a way to get out, find a tree.
Yeah,
that's right.
Can I tell my short story?
Yeah,
go for it.
I've actually had this is you know that I'm capable of embellishing, right, Scotty? But this is the straight scoop.
Oh, I don't believe that.
Deer hunting. I'll make it real quick. Deer hunting in the fall. It's fresh snow on the ground, just a little bit foggy. It warmed up. Mist is coming off. And I'm sitting by some jack firs, and I had just been given for Christmas. No, it was my birthday. I can't remember. It was a deer grunt, and I don't usually believe in that. I like to be quiet when I'm deer hunting, but things were slow, so I said I'd try this. I'm sitting on a stump, poured a cup of coffee to thermos, rifle's down here. I blow this grunt 2 or 3 times, and all of a sudden, the jack firs exploded. Huge bull moose came charging right up this tote road. I'm not kidding.
Yep. Yes, sir.
Right at me. I mean, my knees were rubber, and I spilled the hot coffee on myself, and I grabbed my gun, and I yelled in profanity.
Yeah.
French profanity
at
this moose, and all of a sudden, he put on the brakes. He stopped.
Looked
at me, eyeballed me, swayed his antlers a few times, and turned right around and walked away.
Yes, sir.
But that is a scary thing.
You weren't quite what he was looking for, probably.
No, but it'd scare you.
Yeah, down a big animal like that coming
it
for you?
Scare the bejickin'
out of you. Betcha,
yeah.
You betcha.
Yeah. Okay, well, that was a great job. So now Bob's agreed to try to do it. You want to try to do that?
Sure.
All right. Give us just one more little one, would you? We'll have Joel just.
When you do it, you have to
teach him. Teach Bob how to do that. Would you?
My how I learned to do it, I say ring, rang, rung.
You say what?
Ring, rang, rung.
Ring,
and
rang, rung.
And then try to do it fast.
Well, I'd say that was a B minus.
Well, that's not too bad then, was it?
No. Pretty good.
One more time.
Well, go ahead.
That sounds like me trying to get out of bed in the morning.
That did. That sounded like Diane when she's mad at me.
Sounds like me after dinner.
Norm Plord, you give it a shot. Here we go. Norm Plord.
I don't even know where to begin.
What? How about you, Scotty? You want to try?
Oh, I don't know. No, probably not.
How about your guest, John Drummond?
How about you?
Huh?
How about you? Give us a whirl.
All right, let me try it. Now, what is it again? It's ring, rang, rung?
You say,
ring, rang, rung. Ring,
Oh, yeah, that's pretty good. That
sounded pretty good.
I'll give you an F on it. No. Yeah. I think I'd give you a C+. Anyway.
I'm embarrassing myself. My wife is going to be after me tonight. Anyway, I appreciate that. You do such a great job of that. You must have practiced that over. Do you still practice like a musician?
I practice all the way down here today.
Yeah?
Yep. Yeah. That's probably why my throat's sore.
Are you married?
Yes, I am.
Yeah? Yep. What does your wife think of all that calling?
She actually likes it. She got a moose 2 years ago.
Oh, did she, yeah?
And the cool thing about it is she's always heard me come home and tell the stories from guiding people. And I called a bull into about 18 feet from her. 18,
oh, did you really?
18
yeah?
to 20 feet.
Wow.
And she ended up getting it.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. So
she appreciates your talent.
She enjoyed it. She was a real good sport, too, because that was the year we had the 85-degree temperatures there first 4 days.
That was 2 years ago.
Yep.
I was with a guy hunting moose.
Yep.
Terrible. 90 degrees in Presque Isle that first Monday.
Yep. And I put her in some pretty bad spots, and she never said a word.
Is that right? Yeah. Well, that's great. Okay, well, we're going to try to make a buck here, and we'll get right back to Joel. And again, you folks at home, if you have questions for Joel, now remember, he's not only a talented caller, he's also a very seasoned moose guide. And if you are a person lucky enough to hold a moose permit, you want to ask him any questions about hunting, he'd be glad to try to answer those, I'm sure. Right now, though, Bob Lehman has a message for you from one of our sponsors.
I certainly do. And that, of course, is Al Elkin over there at the General Appliance and Brewer. And I've heard Al make a grunt once in a while when he makes a big sale.
I'm sure he does.
I bet he does. Yeah, more than a grunt, probably.
And a ring of the, anyway, ring of the cash.
He's a fellow to see over there at the General Appliance, and they have gas lights, gas refrigerators, gas ranges, and freezers, top-of-the-line compost toilets as well.
Ride the wave, baby.
Okay, thank you, Scotty. And I bet Jim is listening tonight.
Oh, yes.
He popped that right off.
He'll be proud of me for that.
I'm sure he will. General Appliance, of course, is a family-owned business in Brewer. Been there for a long time. Used to be, Perkins Appliance for many, many, many years, and Al has taken that over and doing a great job over there. And he's got some great repairmen over there, too. I had one over the house just the other day, and he fixed my refrigerator up real well. The ice machine wasn't working too well on it, and he made it work beautifully.
All right.
Yep.
That's good.
Okay. So if you have any trouble shooting a question related to propane appliance, give him a call at...
687-394.
That's right.
That's on the top
good.
Of my head.
989.
Yeah, we appreciate all the patronage. We appreciate his sponsorship of the show, and we encourage you to patronize him.
Certainly do.
As we do.
Yeah, also in compost toilets, you know, there's no running water, no plumbing, no septic, no environmental issues, and no mosquitoes. Did you know that?
That's right.
Hey, how could you go wrong?
Oh, by the way, I have to correct the record. You asked me last week, I listened back to the show, and I don't know why, you asked me if I'd ever used a compost toilet, and I said, yeah, many times.
Yeah.
Why I said that, I don't know, because I have never had the pleasure of experiencing a compost toilet.
I have. It's amazing.
You have, okay.
Yeah, it was in a closet in one of those lodges I was staying
a
couple of years ago. But anyway, they sell our books over there, too, you know.
Yes, sir, they do.
Yeah, so if you want to get a book or you want to get an appliance, General Appliance and Brewer is the place to go.
You betcha. Okay, 1-800-966-1039 will get you through to the Maine Outdoors program, and we'll have a chance to ask any questions of Joel Carvel that you'd like to ask. Joel, what about, I know it's not your specialty, but sometimes you're probably in a situation where you have to try to impersonate a bull moose.
Yep.
Can you give that a shot? This would be a bull in Okay, they're
That's not my specialty.
But they're much more simple than that, right?
Yep.
There.
Yeah.
And the bulls, they're not vocal like a female, are they generally, or are they?
They do have a couple different calls. One is it's a deeper grunt when they're coming in. It could be a fur fighter just coming in looking. You got one kind of hooked, it's a little higher pitched, almost like a young guy going after his first girlfriend.
Yeah.
You know, just they'll come. You know, you got them hooked when they're coming.
Okay, and do they always make a call when they're coming inbound looking for love?
Some days they might just sneak right in behind you or wherever, not make a sound. You hear a stick, you know, where they broke a stick when they're walking.
yeah,
and not make any noise at all. And sometimes it's too late, you're busted, and they're gone.
I see.
Yep.
Okay, that's interesting. Again, great job you did. Congratulations to you for having such a talent. Let's talk a little bit about the moose hunt itself, mm-hmm. while we have some time left. In the journal that I gave you, I think there's an article, maybe it was a month before, I guess it was a month before, on correct placement of the shot. What do you tell your sports? Let's say that Bob Lehman is new at it, and he's hired you to be the moose guide. Do you check him out? Do you vet him? Do you find out if he knows how to shoot accurately and if he's a marksman? How do you?
Yeah, usually on Sunday we'll check the guns and make sure everything's on and we'll see how he is shooting. If he flinches or mm-hmm. A lot of times if you let him shoot a few shots, I can tell whether I can let him shoot at 150 yards or it's going to be 50 yards.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep.
So you have to, as a guide, you have to make that determination.
Yeah, you got to make that. Yeah. You got to be paying attention to them and see if they're just flinchy or nervous or stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah. I'm sure you have cases where a guy or a gal gets really shooken mm-hmm. and drops the rounds on the ground instead of getting them in the gun. You've probably had that.
Well,
right?
Usually we're long out of the pickup and walking. Yeah. So before we even see anything, they're loaded up and ready to go.
Yeah.
So I don't really have – we don't do much riding and hunting.
You do a lot of walking,
do
right?
mostly walking, look for winter roads, looking for feed, getting back of the cuts and stuff like that. So
you probably have some idea ahead of time where they're active, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I usually do a lot of scouting before
get there. How early in the morning will you be taking Bob to his cutting where you're going to hunt?
I usually right about daylight. I don't like to get in too early because we could bust a moose, a bull, if you can't see him visually. I'm usually right at daylight there when
right at daybreak. You like to be there?
Yeah.
Yeah. And if you come to a cutting, say you come to a cutting, big cutting, you're going to work that cutting. Do you have a certain tactic that you use to work the cutting, or you just kind of sit around a certain place?
I will play the wind. I usually start out with a cow call, not too loud, to see if there's something close.
Yeah.
If I don't get any response, I'll usually 20 minutes to 30 minutes in one area while I'm calling, but I'll go a little bit louder, and then we just start walking down into the cuts and try to get off the road as far as we can there.
And let's say you're walking across a cutting and you hear what sounds like a cow moose in heat. What do you do at that point?
I'll play the wind. But when I take my hunter, I'm a little bit careful of what I do when you've got a cow. Usually when she's making that noise, the bull's right there. And
so you're assuming there's a bull handy.
I'm usually if she's doing that, you'll hear the grunt of the bull.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll do a little more sneaking. I don't necessarily do much for calling. I'll play the wind and go real quiet and try to sneak in on them.
Okay. Now, there must be occasions where you have somebody who doesn't have a bull permit, who are hunting cows, right?
I used to do more of the cow hunts. They used to be like the first week of November. Now I think they're the last week of October. But I don't do as many of those now, but I have done those in the past.
Yeah.
Yep.
Now, you don't look down your nose at those of us who have cow permits.
No, right? I certainly don't. No. Moose meat is very good. Yeah.
My wife has a cow permit
for
this fall up in your neck of the woods.
Yep.
And, of course, you don't know it, but I've been picking your brain here for about half an hour.
Am I going to get a phone call after the regular season?
You might.
If somebody wanted to, engage you, Joe, how would they do that?
You can call my cell phone. You want me to give the number?
Oh, yeah, sure. Yeah.
207-227-0991.
One more time, 207?
227-0991.
Okay. So anyway, so you get there at daybreak, and you're waiting. Try to find somebody answering your calls, right?
Yep. That's
just...
Yep, and
sort of like turkey.
Yeah, and if there's no nothing working, I won't spend too much time. I'll keep moving through the cut and try to find something that will respond. And obviously, usually I've gone and checked out the area before I even got there, so I know there's moose activity around. So, but you do have to be patient in those places.
Do you use scent of any kind?
The only scent I'll use is if I find a moose wallow, you could wipe that on your leg if you wanted to, but I don't use any spray type scents.
Not at all.
Some people say they work. So
yeah. So you mainly sound, right?
Mostly sound. Yeah. Mostly sound. Yep. Listening and calling.
Yeah. Do you have any advice as far as a caliber of gun used for moose?
I think anything in the state of Maine for moose hunting, like a 30-06 or 270, but a 308 is fine. My wife shot hers with a 7 MM08.
Yeah, that's what my wife uses. Yeah.
I would rather have a gun where the person wasn't scared of it.
Comfortable
if
with
they're
it,
flinching
yeah.
with it, to, you know, they're going to be missing.
Yeah.
I had a husband-wife I guided one time. She had a 243 and he had a 300 Win Mag, and they both fired. She hit the moose and he missed it completely.
Right.
So I had her fire one more time and she finished it off.
Oh, yeah?
I didn't even let him fire
because
he just was too scared of the gun.
Oh, boy.
But when you do get the smaller calibers, that's when shot placement really comes into effect. I prefer, especially with a smaller caliber, the broad side behind the front shoulder, heart and lungs.
So what do you think about the Kelso theory called he calls it the collar theory. In other words, he argues that you're better to shoot this moose in the neck, that's the way to go because it immobilizes them immediately and they don't end up going 50 yards into the
dead, I think dead everybody has their theories, and he's probably witnessed some, what he's talking about.
Yeah.
So, like I said, if you go behind the front shoulder, the moose it might run a ways, but it's going down.
So you go for the vitals.
If I've got a decent guy with a good shot, good caliber rifle, I will go. I'll go below the chin, like in the neck, facing you.
If you had a facing on shot?
Yep. I've had guys kill moose, and usually they go right down.
Yeah. So is that just is that high in the chest or low in the neck? Is that what it would be?
Yeah, be just the, right below the chin.
Yeah. Do you believe in do you ever quarter up the animal like we do out west with the elk?
Yeah, we skin and quarter them. I'll admit I'm not the greatest at it, but I can do it.
You do quarter them up?
Skin and quarter them, and it cools the meat down quicker.
Yeah.
A lot of times if you're back hunting, it could be half a mile or mile from the truck off the road.
Yeah.
And if up and beyond the North Gate there, you can't take ATVs or,
sometimes you have to do that. Yeah. We only have a minute left and, we're getting special requests for you to do the cow call one more time. we want to thank you for being here and we wish you a safe ride back to Myers Hill. And Bob and I appreciate the fact that you drove all the way to be with us tonight.
Yep. Yeah. Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
And good luck to you this fall on the moose hunt.
Yep.
And you may get a call from Diane. I don't know. She's probably listening. Anyway, could you do the Bob wanted the moose call one more time. This is a cow, a Maine cow moose looking for love. All right. That was great. Thank you so much.
It's almost a whale, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
Like a whale, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, that's the sound of the moose in the woods in the fall. Thanks for being with us, everybody. Our guest next week is, who is our guest next week, Bob? Our guest
Right here. I don't know.
It's Mark Cody from Anticosti.
Oh, that'd be very interesting.
The Deer Island up north. Yeah, he's going to be with us.
Yeah.
And we'll see you all next week right here on Maine Outdoors.